Our scripture text is Matthew 21, verse 33 to 46. Matthew 21, 33 to 46. Jesus struggled with false teachers. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let out to husbandmen, to farmers, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, to the farmer, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. The title of our sermon, Jesus struggled with false teachers. Just now we read the passage, and did you realize that it ended with Jesus saying that upon whomsoever this stone will fall, and especially with these who reject him, the Pharisees and the chief priests and the scribes, they realized that Jesus' parable was directed at them. He will grind them into powder. Can you think of such words from Jesus Christ? That is not too much. If you know the wickedness, the spiritual wickedness of these who are his enemies, well then, I think it's good for us to turn to the Bible here and there to be familiar with the truth. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we have in verse 43 downwards. Please turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, to grind them into powder. But Jesus said that we should be good to our enemies. And they are your enemies. Why did you say that? To grind them into powder. Here we must always differentiate between the public enemies that are against the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And they are against Jesus when they do wicked things. And the private enemies, like in the church, even we have enemies when you quarrel with some member and then you are not on good terms. He sits one corner and you sit another corner. And that's not right. And Jesus has it in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Do you forgive them who have hurt you? You won't. Neither will God the Father forgive you. You will be in trouble. Your heart will never be at peace. You see how wonderful it is? If you think that you are right, even then, before God, you may be wrong somewhere. So be willing to forgive. So what Jesus means, these are private quarrels that you have. He will receive you if you forgive one another. But here Jesus is struggling with his public enemies, false teachers, and what do these false teachers do? They say words that are against their own conscience. They say words to accuse Jesus. And that is a long paragraph in Matthew chapter 12. Well, I'll not read it, but tell the story of that paragraph. There was a dumb and blind man who was brought to Jesus. And you know that Jesus would never refuse anyone who comes. He will relieve the suffering right away. And he cast out the devil. He was possessed by a blind and dumb devil. Immediately the Pharisees, his enemies, commented, oh, He lived by the prince of devils called Beelzebub. And that is what it is. But our Lord Jesus Christ not only answer and tell them to shut up, but He always answers the way that will surely convince anyone. He brings out the irresistible logic. How can the prince of Satan cast out his own people? If you do it, then your house will not stand. You are divided. Therefore, I say unto you, if you say a word against the Son of Man, against Jesus, because you do not understand, you will be forgiven. But when you understand the truth, and you still tell the lie, it was a plain lie that if those who are hearing are not keen enough, they may be taken, it is Jesus casting out the devil, the small devil, by the prince of devils. That is illogical. It cannot be so. So Jesus added in the condemnation to those who blaspheme the Son of Man, they are forgiven. But if they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit by saying things that are against their true knowledge and against their conscience, they will not be forgiven, neither in this world nor in the next world. They will be sent to hell. That is how Jesus fights these false teachers. They are telling a wicked lie that the ordinary people may wake up and understand. And they are also condemned right there to know that hell will be their portion. See how different it is. See why Jesus said that on those he, the stone that will fall, it will grind him into powder. Let us understand how important it is in the church, in the spiritual world. Many things that you think is all right, or why bother? Why say these things? We do not want any fight. But when the truth of God is being smothered, but when Jesus, who is the truth, is actually being attacked, Jesus must answer back, and Jesus must expose them thoroughly. So, if there are troubles in the church, we want to find out what's the trouble. I have known of a church of 6 elders who judge their pastor. And though now we do not have the presbytery and the synod, usually it will be the nomination of 3 pastors not belonging to that church to try the case. But it will be fair. but they don't have it. And they say it's all right because the synod is dissolved, so we can try our pastor. And they have got a tome of statements and records and so forth, and they sack him. Well, anyone can see how clearly it is that it is unfair. Well, I have been charged also 7 or 8 charges, and I answered exactly what has happened. And they who were the session, they read all my replies, and they say, we will not tackle our pastor because out of respect, they could not tackle me. So you can see, churches might have troubles, but what troubles they are, and particularly on doctrine. And we say, we now cannot take the oath at the Fison Bible College graduation that we believe every word is a word of God, every chapter, every word, every syllable, because now we have found mistakes in the Bible. And when they see these things, they are against me, what I have been teaching all these years. Immediately I had to defend the truth. Not defend myself, the truth. Defend my Lord Jesus Christ. And I say the Bible is 100% perfect, has no mistakes. And now, here is the test. If they don't understand, and they say actually against Jesus, the Lord might have mercy. But if they know for sure, and they speak against the Holy Spirit, but I will show you that I believe what Jesus has said about the Word. And I believe Jesus, and I don't want to question Jesus. I believe the Lord will bless me. That is why we could not worship in Life Church. We get out of it that we might have the freedom. And so many of you are coming here and you say the same thing. Of course the Bible has no mistake. Do you know the Bible verses? You are not a trained pastor and theologian, but in simple logic of faith, you believe. If God, He is so great, He's the Almighty God, how can He have Bible mistakes? But to you who do not know the Bible verses, and I have once before asked you to look into these verses with me at the worship service here, by now you might have forgotten. So I'm going to ask you to look into those verses with me, only 7 verses. Please turn with me one by one and read it for yourself now. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 12. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Think of it. As one who has written some books, I understand the meaning of purified 7 times. Sometimes you want to use a word, and then you say, well, this word is not so good. I must look for the very right word. And you might have 2 or 3 times corrected that word, and it becomes a more exact word. That is what it means. God even purifies things over 7 times, the word that He is going to write in the Bible. And then He continues, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Purified 7 times, and He will keep them intact, preserved. So we believe in a fullness of preservation of the Bible words. And Dr. Jeffrey Kuh has written a book on this point, the full preservation of the Scriptures. Not only inspired, but preserved, fully correct, no mistake. But they who say the Bible has mistakes have declared we are against this interpretation when it is so clearly stated. Matthew chapter 5 verse 18, let us look at that. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 18. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. The Old Testament is called the law. And this is Jesus giving support to the Jews who believe the Old Testament Bible is perfect, no mistake. And Jesus said, yes, it has so been so preserved and kept that one jot or one tittle, one jot is a letter I in Hebrew. The smallest letter is also kept intact. Tittle is like the cross of a T. Some words, like the word L, no T and no cross. But T is having a cross. That is a tittle. Even to the little dot, it is preserved. And this has a reference to the Old Testament. Jesus says that the Old Testament is preserved intact. Now, 3 times in the Synoptic Gospels, same words are said and same words recorded. First of all, let us turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. we interpret it very smoothly and easily, exactly what it says. But those who have said that the Bible has mistakes, they interpret it in another way. But if they interpret in such a way that they offend the Holy Spirit, that, like Jesus having healed, cast out the devil, the dumb and deaf devil of a man, and they refute Jesus that it is the prince of devils that cast out the devil, that is speaking a lie, that is speaking against the truth, the Lord Jesus will deal with him. You will not be forgiven your sin here in this world and not in the next world. Mark chapter 13:31. Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then finally, Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, words, plural, shall not pass away. What I need not read the rest up to here is good enough for you. So we have so declared, from the logic of faith, we believe in the Almighty God. How can He not be perfect? How can He not protect His word, preserve His word? But the Bible clearly says so. The trouble is, those who are not with us and we have left them declare that the Bible has mistakes. Despite all these verses we have shown them, they deny. There's another meaning. The meaning is there, very clear, given to us. So Jesus said, love your enemies and forgive them. These are private quarrels. But public mistakes, Jesus must defend. The truth is a public, there's a truth. And I gave you one illustration. And this thing happened in America just about a year ago. A black man bore two holes at the back of his car to fit his gun. And he makes a compartment to hide himself at the back of his car. And he parks his car somewhere on the high place, facing a market, a crowded place, and he shoots at random. And he hits somebody, taken aback, from where? Well, this went on for a fortnight. And he killed 13 people. All these people were, the people were really surprised. From where did the bullet come? So there was a driver's, a Christian fellowship that prayed. And when they prayed, the Lord led them to see this car parked at a certain place. And not seeing the shooting, But when they examined, the fellow was found inside the car. So he quotes Jesus, love your enemies. Please forgive me. Do you think the people will let him go? He has killed 13 people and no judgment. We love him and forgive him. This refers to the private friends, or friends who become enemies. But it is a public matter. And so the black man was sentenced to death. Jesus struggled with false teachers who tell lies, and Jesus is the truth. And they go against Jesus' teaching of salvation, but constantly obstruct him. Jesus will surely grind them into powder. If any one of us will hinder the truth and speak against the truth, against our conscience, beware. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, how we love Thee, and the people here love Thee. Help us to take a stand for Thee, that Thy word may go forth to win more into the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.